I support the Second Amendment. I purchased a gun when I was a young man. I've been a hunter pretty much all my life.
Can I get me a hunting license here?
I'm not a big game hunter. I made it very clear. I've always been, if you will, a rodent and rabbit hunter. All right, small varmints, if you will.
You better say your prayers, you flea-bitten varmint.
Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi. 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And joining us on the line, she is known as the Lone Republican. You can see her her pieces usually in the Boston Herald. Holly, how are you? Holly,
been
are you there?
Been a while.
Hey, what's going on?
So, well, I got my power back, so I guess I'm one of the lucky 39% in Scituate that has their power.
And I see that you also found a cell phone tower, too.
Yeah, the cell phone came back late last night, so yippee. I have to tell you, with the storm being so tough, and it gets a little scary without being able to call somebody and say, you know, and I had a lot of relatives, like, you know, panic because one moment I was talking to them, the next moment there's nothing, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we have you for an abbreviated stint this evening, but I think probably the meat and potatoes that I kind of want to get down to with you, and that would be who is being drafted at this particular time. I know Dan Winslow, who is a state rep up on the North Shore, is a guy who is looking to be, you know, run against, well, maybe if he has an opponent in the primary in April, we'll hear from, you know, I'm sure we're going to hear another candidate who is on the GOP side of things that'll run against Mr. Winslow. But then ultimately, we're looking at June to see who's going to go up against Markey or Stephen Lynch.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting couple days. I mean, the next 3 weeks are going to be tough for getting the signatures, especially with this weather. You know, it'd be great if the Secretary of State's office would push it back 3 or 4 days. Mm. You know, just, you know, for everybody that is trying to collect signatures and the governor saying you have to stay off the road, it shortens up the time period. So I think, you know, another 3-4 days from the Secretary of State's office would be highly appropriate. To get 10,000, you know that you've got to get 20,000 raw signatures, which is a lot of work and a lot of manpower out there. So, but it's exciting times. Dan Winslow officially kicked off, I believe, last Thursday.
Yep.
Another guy, Gabriel Gomez, I guess he ran for selectman in Cohasset, wasn't successful, but I guess he's going to do it. There's been rumors of Bruce Tarr, and there is a pretty extensive draft Mike Sullivan movement going on right now. So it's exciting times. I think there's some good energy on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, you know, I think it's the same old, same old. I mean, you've got a congressman that, you know, Ed Markey, who people really don't know, but he's been in there for 37 years.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and if you're expecting hope and change, he's not the person to send.
here's my problem, though, is why did the bigger names... Why did the bigger Republican names totally step out of this? Why did we? Why did Scott Brown just?
Well, I think he
why.
He can place the blame on Scott Brown. It was a week ago Friday. He said he wasn't going to run. Now everybody was basically nobody would dare go in a primary against Scott Brown out of respect.
Right.
And I understand. Look, I understand family. You know, you want to change. You want too many elections, and you need some family time. I understand all that. The problem is the timing. Scott owed it to, you know, the party to tell us, you know, 10 days earlier, a month earlier, that he wasn't doing it, or he wasn't even thinking about it. Because you're talking about the other, you know, the big names that were thinking about it. You're talking about people rearranging their lives in a matter of a week.
Mm.
And I was talking to somebody and said, you know, well, why hasn't so and so jumped in? And I said, you know, this, you know, people are in the private sector. It's not that easy just to rearrange your life in a couple of days and say, okay, I'm going to give up everything else. Put family aside, put business aside, and going to run for office. You need a little bit more time, and so it's a really hard process. And you know, Scott holding back like that put us at a disadvantage. Now, do I think that's going to hold us down in June? No, I think we're going to come roaring back once we get through the signatures, because I think whoever the Republican candidate is going to be in such stark contrast to either a Lynch or to a Markey.
Holly, Joe Rossi here.
Hi.
Hi. You know,
she's happy to have power.
I wish I was in the same boat.
Me too.
You know, that was kind of a question that I kind of had, and I know you just addressed it, but the whole time, when Scott finally came out and said that he wasn't going to run, I was a little surprised, but I actually had thought that there were some deep conversations going on in the background about what his decision was going to be. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to me that he kind of kept this to himself, it seems like, now, from people that are talking.
As far as I know, nobody knew. The only one that I would think would know would be the new party chairwoman who got elected through the pressure of Scott Brown. And then the following day after she got elected, that's when he bowed out. The whole thing is does not sit well with a lot of GOP activists, just to say, to tell you the truth. I look at it as like, you know, what if a Bob Hedlund wanted to get into this race? he would make a great candidate for U.S. Senate. I mean, we certainly have elected a state senator to U.S. Senate, and waiting to this last moment really, was not fair to the party. And I understand family concerns, but he could have told us, he could have given some people some heads up and said, what if I don't, kind of giving some inklings to some people so that we had a backup plan, and we didn't have a backup plan. And it was out of respect for him, and it's too bad he didn't show the same respect to the party that the party gave to him.
I guess a follow-up question to that would be, what is your take on the mass GOP election that recently happened? Because I know the candidate that won is tied to Scott Brown.
I wish Kristen Hughes all the best luck in the world. But seeing as what happened the day after, and that Scott had told people in the race that, look, you know, he needed her in there so he could run again. I think they owe some apologies to some people whose arms were twisted in that race, and it's caused some hard feelings in that. Will we all end up pulling together? Yes, but I do think that the new chairwoman does owe some apologies to some people about the situation, and she's kind of been avoiding it and not really saying anything, and I hope she'll speak out on that and, kind of address some concerns people have about that, because I've heard from numerous people that they feel that they were manipulated in the race for chairwoman, and that the vote should have been a little, that should have been disclosed before the vote. But I know that, I've been talking to a lot of Republicans. They're still excited about this race and about our chances.
Now, I also heard that Bill Weld was a possibility. Did you see him even entertaining a thought of being a part of this race?
No, I think ever since he's come back to Boston, he's made it quite clear that what he's intending on doing is lobbying and making money. The first couple comments that he made in the Boston Herald didn't really endear himself to the Republican Party. So I don't see, I didn't see him as a possible candidate.
Okay, what's your latest blog? If folks want to find out more of what you're looking at, what's the latest one that you put out this week?
You know what? I have been offline since Friday, so I haven't been able to put anything on. But I think what you'll be seeing is I'm going to be talking over the next couple of days, and hopefully my article will be printed tomorrow. I did get my column in on Friday afternoon before the power went out, and talking about the mismanagement within, state government, that, the governor, Patrick, is looking for $1.9 billion more taxes. But if you look at, I think when at the end of the day, there's going to be more than $100 million worth of fraud within the welfare system. Then you've got $300 million to $500 million we're going to have to pay on the crime lab scandal. Mm. So by the end of the day, this tax money that you're sending in is going to pay for the mismanagement of Governor Patrick. And it's a big chunk of change he's asking for. And I just don't think it's appropriate for us to have to pay for his mismanagement. I think he should have been doing a better job of watching what was going on in the state.
What is your thoughts as far as him seeing that this is something that we're that we have to handle as far as being taxpayers. He was on last week with Joe and myself, and one of the things that he had said was is that, you know, that things like this come along every now and then that we have to take care of, whether it's, you know, doing the $1.8 billion when it comes to the South Coast Rail Project, whether it comes to the income sale, the income tax increase from, you know, what is it now, 5.25 up to 6.25, you know,
well,
a candy tax.
Today in the paper, they said that ridership on the T down to the South Coast area is way down. So I'm not sure if there's really a demand to spend, you know, a billion there. I mean, our state is the most indebted state in one of the most indebted states in the entire nation. Mm. We have more debt per capita than the state of California. And as you know, California is going broke.
Right.
We've got some major problems. And, you know, spending more and making our debt more is not going to resolve those issues. I think the first and foremost is that the governor has got to start doing some things to get his house in order. When we've got, you know, when we've got $300 million to $500 million that we're going to have to pay for the crime lab scandal, and the governor has put nothing in place to stop to make sure that that never happens again, we've got a problem. Last year we passed, you know, EBT reforms and welfare reforms to stop the waste, fraud, and abuse going on there. And the day after it got signed into law, the governor said, I'm not going to enforce it. I'm not going to enforce it. It's just, you know, don't ask the taxpayers to fork over any more money to be wasted. Start getting your fiscal house in order, and then you can talk about, you know, where you might need more revenue. And more revenue doesn't necessarily have to come from tax dollars. We have plenty of excess land here in the state of Massachusetts that the state owns that they could sell and that we wouldn't have to pay for higher taxes.
If folks want to reach out and, you know, drop you a line, or they have any ideas as far as for future blogs, how can they reach you?
They can get me at holly@tuesdayassociates.com.
Holly, I want to thank you so much. I'm glad that you at least have power and you have a cell phone that's working, and we'll definitely look forward to talking to you in the coming weeks.
Oh, I'm so excited to have heat and power. Woohoo!
Holly Robichaud. Thank you very much.
Thank you.